the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Specials Podcast with me, Lee Phelps, and Reality Rob Dixon. You well, Rob?
Yep, not too bad. Good afternoon, everyone.
We've got loads to look at here, Rob. No sooner have we got Christmas out of the way, and we've got a packed page on the TV Specials tab on the William Hill website. Celebrity Big Brother, of course. We've got The Jump, The Voice, Oscars, the Golden Globes coming up very soon. BAFTAs have been announced. The NTAs are on there. You've got a box office special, the highest grossing film of 2015. The Grammys, Next Bond, Weather, Costa, Book Award, EastEnders, Broadchurch, Royals. This is just crazy. Never stops.
This is
so much stuff. I think there's more on there now than we've ever seen before in January.
There you go.
Should we start with Celebrity Big Brother?
Start at the top.
Yeah, let's do that. It's 2 nights old, of course. Thanks for listening to the podcast we did before the show, if you did. Katie Hopkins is the one that everyone's talking about, I suppose, Rob. Not a big surprise. And she's now 4-1, second favourite. The man out in front in terms of favouritism is Keith Chegwin at 3-1. Then you've got 9-2 for Nadia Sawala, 8-1 Callum Best, 8-1 for Michelle Visage. Paris Hilton's 12-1. Kavanagh's 14s. Patsy Kensit 14-1. Ken Morley 16-1. Jeremy Jackson from Baywatch fame, once upon a time, 20-1. Alexandra O'Neill 33-1. And Alicia Duval is 40-1. There are more. But I'm just struggling to find out how to.
Cammy Lee 40-1 and Chloe Goodman make up the 14 at 40-1 as well.
Did you? Anyone who didn't listen to our little preview, I went for Nadia and Rob went for Patsy Kensit, but we also had little outside shouts. Your outside shout was Michelle Visage, and that's coming quite a lot, so you're already on the right side of that bet.
Yeah,
mine was Alicia Duval, which has drifted like a barge.
My outside bet is now favourite over the one that I put more money on as well.
Yeah.
So that's life, isn't it?
Not much is not an awful lot changed for me in my opinion. I mean, I must say, I thought that I'd actually thought it was a great group. And I know on Twitter people are always going to say like, oh, who are these lot, who's that. But actually, I think we're in for an entertaining time watching it this year, because there's some big personalities in there, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think it's as I mean, we're looking, if we can use sort of last year's January show as a guide, then you were still looking at sort of 16-1, 20-1 Jim Davidson at this point.
Mm.
So, I mean, anyone can win. When I say everyone, there probably are three or four at the bottom who will find a definite struggle. But of the contenders, then I think they've sort of manoeuvred into positions. Obviously, Katie Hopkins has had the task and she's had the airtime, and I don't really see that changing over the sort of over the course of the show, really. It's just that this likability factor is, and whether she can change public perception will probably be the difference between winning and losing on the show.
The opening show, by the way, beat Channel 4 and BBC 2 in the ratings. Over 3 million tuned in, so doing something right. And now they're obviously showing highlights on MTV for the first time this series, all part of the fact that Viacom bought Channel 5, and that's why Chloe Goodman's probably in the show for as long as she lasts, just to advertise the MTV show X on the Beach. She's up for eviction, of course, with Alexandra O'Neill, and maybe more, Rob. She's up against it there. I mean, if it's just them two, she's gone, to be fair. But there probably will be more chucked in there, I guess.
I think there are a few cracks showing in Katie's...
I thought you were going to say Keith Chegwin. I was hoping, not again.
Exactly. But in Katie's plan to be nice to everybody, I think a few people had sort of cottoned on that it was an act, so it'd be interesting to know. I think there'll be more on the eviction than these two. Shame it's not those two, actually, because I think it's a very close heat between the two. Maybe Alexandra would have probably just about survived, but obviously that with Chloe Goodman and showing bits now on MTV and Viacom, then maybe it wasn't as clear cut as I thought it would have been if it would have just been those two.
Yeah. Interesting market that Rob's caught with here is the top American contestant. There's the five American contestants in there, maybe also something to do with the MTV links. Michelle Visage is the 5-4 favourite there. Paris Hilton, who thinks it's his party, 9-4. Jeremy Jackson, Baywatch guy, 4-1. Alexander O'Neill, 8-1. And Cammy Lee, 10-1. Cammy Lee's a feisty thing, isn't she?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. She came in a blaze of expletives, and she's already been in the diary room dishing it out as well. There's also rumours that she's already had a little kiss with Callum Best. If you had a market on which two contestants would are most likely to get it on, it'd have to be them two, wouldn't it? Callum Best got to be involved somewhere along the line.
Callum's got to be involved in everything, hasn't he? If anything romantically linked in the show, then Callum would be right there. But, we'll wait and see. It's the American market is quite a strange market. We've had flip-flopping favourites already. Perez was favourite after the first night. I think you can just see, there were just glimpses last night, how you can see how he's just sort of going to get on people's nerves. I think he's going to ask too many questions of people. And I think people will be a little bit too sort of scared to open up, obviously, with him being a sort of gossip blogger and stuff like that. Then Michelle, who's come in, she's come in and she's actually been very quiet. I was expecting something different from what I'd seen previously that she'd done. So, 8-1, I still, obviously, if you're on the 25s, congratulations. But I think 8-1 might still have a few legs as well. If you look at these front few, there's still sort of question marks. I think Keith Chegwin's a worthy favourite. I can't see at this moment how Katie Hopkins wins the show at all, based on the fact that at some stage towards the end of the show it's going to be vote to win, and I just can't see how she can change the public perception that much, because I think she's working at a lot sort of lower level than Jim Davidson and Alex Reed and a few of the others have been. Nadia, I think Nadia will be fine. We mentioned the cooking and everything in the podcast in the week. Not got a lot of airtime over the last 24 hours. That might be.
She doesn't need it though, does she? She won't get nominated, mate.
No.
You have to be. The thing with this show is you have to be nominated to go. Yeah. Unless you're all up for an elimination, of course. But I can't see her being nominated.
I can't really see the first three, or the two of the first three anyway, Keith and Nadia, getting too many. Nominations at this
stage. It's funny with Katie Hopkins, isn't it? Because I mean, at the price she's at now, 4-1, you can't touch her. You know, you'd have to be looking at a much bigger price than that. But already in the house, people are a bit like, all right, so you're not the kind of, you don't do all that sort of stuff normally. And so already she seems to be changing the perception. But people are also starting to wonder if she is part of this first eviction game.
I don't think, as soon as it comes clear over the weekend,
she won't be doing that to people's faces,
she
mate.
She is part of it.
There's no way she'll be going up to people going, oh, can't believe all that plastic surgery. That won't happen, mate. I'd be amazed if that happens.
I don't think she will, but I think she'll be getting certainly more airtime. I think she'll be getting more diary room airtime than everyone because she's just reporting back. And the fact that she's going to be so two-faced about it, that can't go well.
No, because what they'll do eventually, you would imagine, is that they'll get her in the diary room and they'll screen it to the entire house.
Yep, definitely.
At some point.
That'll be it for her. I mean, I think she's going to get the nominations anyway. I don't think it's just whether if it's... Her only saving grace is that she's gonna, if it's a vote to save, she's gonna get up against some pretty boring people. She's gonna be up against your Alicia's, Chloe, Jeremy, Cammy, people like that, and she probably will win over them because they want to try and do what they can to keep the most entertaining housemate in, and the fact that by a long distance she's been the most well paid, being in there this year. So.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? The other thing is, I suppose the fact that she's got, 337,000 followers on Twitter, there's a reason she's got that many followers, like her or hate her or whatever you want to do with her, is that people want to hear what she's got to say, and they want to, whether even if they just want to hear what she says just so they can go, oh, did you hear what she said? So you never know. I mean, I'm not discounting her from winning it, Rob, but there's no way I could touch 4-1.
The thing is, if she plays the game well, if she shows some sort of humility and sort of comes back down almost to the rest of the group from off her high horse, then she can win it. It's a show that's not really going to take too much winning for her.
Do you know what, though? I was trying to think about it the other day, Rob, like, while we were watching it on the launch show, and just kind of thinking to myself, this is obviously, she's not like that in real life, obviously. She's not walking around, you know, absolutely lambasting everyone she walks into. It's, you know, the media has obviously said to her in a subconscious way or whatever, if you act this certain way, that's how you will get notoriety. That's how you will get your own TV show. That's how you'll get columns in the paper. That's how you'll get 337,000 followers on Twitter. If she'd been nice since The Apprentice, we wouldn't even know who she was. Maybe we're just getting to the time now, Rob, where she wants to start changing that now. She's got her own TV show. Maybe she wants to start doing more serious stuff. I think I've seen little signs of her in the house already where she maybe wants to leave that behind. And maybe she's very bright, remember. She's not an idiot. Maybe she will use Celebrity Big Brother as a way of showing, you know, everyone that's not what she's really like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
She mainly needs to show humility. That's her problem. Mm. She needs to show that she's got a vulnerable side.
No, but she's self-deprecating, Rob.
She's got a vulnerable side.
But she's already doing that already. She said, you know, they said about the plastic surgery, and she said, well, you know, I've got a massive nose. Why would I do it? People go, you've got a massive nose. No, you haven't. I think she's very self-deprecating. It's just that she's, you know, she's being paid indirectly by the media to be like this person. I think we'll see a lot more of Katie Hopkins than you know. I think she'll be right there.
No,
honestly,
I think we've got no choice but to see a lot of Katie Hopkins, because that's what
the show demands.
We're going to get, isn't she? I mean, she knows how to play the game. We go back down to, she was on The Apprentice, wasn't she? Let's not think that she was a global brand consultant for the Met Office before she went on The Apprentice and stuff. She obviously had a decent job to begin with, and obviously The Apprentice has sort of really helped her kick on. But how much of it is her own thing? Or, I mean, she's a weekly columnist for The Sun. They've probably told her what to write most of the time anyway, and she is playing up to the stereotype. But unfortunately, people watching the show will already have a preconceived idea. I'll start again. People watching the show will already have a preconceived idea on what she is anyway, so it is going to be difficult for her to turn that round for me.
Yeah, we'll see. There's been similar shifts in people's opinion in this show. I don't think she's that much different to some of the previous winners. Anything else to add on Celebrity Big Brother?
No, not really. I think away from Katie, I think everybody's
pretty much what we said.
I'd make a case maybe for Ken Morley, 16-1. I think he's like the doddering old fool, isn't he, going round the house and stuff. And when he was going round, he was doing his own tour of the house last night. Was good TV. I was surprised that the market has got him as big a price as he has at the moment. But
Did you see the bit where Perez was trying to get him a single bed, but didn't manage it, and he had to go and say to him, "You're gonna have to share the bed with me." And Ken said, "Can I just ask you a question? You've got a child, haven't you?" And he went, "Yes." He went, "But are you, how do I say this?" And Parsons went, "Gay." "Yes, yes." And he's like, "Yeah." And I thought to myself at that point, "What? This is Big Brother Ken now. You know, you're 74 years old and you're sharing a bed with a gay man," which he may well have done in his, you know, in his past. But I bet he was thinking, right, okay, interesting.
Just thinking, it's a long way away.
Yeah, but I mean, even for him to be sharing, if he was sharing a bed with Cammy Lee, for instance, as a 74-year-old man, it'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
It's a long way from better buys now.
Certainly is. So Celebrity Big Brother, feel free to tweet us with your thoughts on Celebrity Big Brother @reality_Rob. My Twitter handle is @LeePhelps. With your thoughts on the eventual winner, my views haven't really changed. I'm still with Nadia. I think she'll just kind of trundle along through, and she'll be there amongst the last five, and then it's all down to whether she's impressed the public enough. I do think, though, with this lineup, it's one of those lineups where I think there won't be one front runner. I think people will be split, and there will be so many different personalities, and there's so many different little factions of support on Twitter, that I think the one who someone like Nadia, or maybe Patsy Kensett, someone who's pretty steady, might shine through amongst all the crazy personalities. Last year it was a bit different in that you had that unbelievable personality with Gary Busey, and I know you had other strong ones, but there weren't many strong personalities last year. This is the other way around, where it might be the one who's a little bit quieter who just ends up shining through at the end.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
We shall see.
I think if there's going to be arguments and there's going to be outspoken people, then yeah, the quiet one can go one of two ways, can't they? Either the fact they go under the radar a little bit, which makes them vulnerable, or they shine through. I think Nadia, Kavanagh, who else are we looking at down here?
Probably he's pretty dull, isn't he?
Probably Patsy. Out of the potential winners, are going to have a, what I always sort of call a moment during the show. I think they'll have to do something that sort of makes people aware that they're there. I don't think the producers are going to push them enough to get them to win, personally speaking. But
yeah,
we'll wait and see. I mean, it's from a fieldwork point of view, we've laid the front two, Keith and Katie, so at the moment we wouldn't mind one of the others coming out of the pack, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, fine. I was just looking back to when, like, you know, the previous winners, you know, Gary Busey, Jim Davidson, Charlotte Crosby, Ryland Clark, all fit into that changing people's perception of them. Julian Clary, Denise Welsh don't really. I think they're the two.
There does tend to be more public perception changes since the show's gone to Channel 5 from Channel 4.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a link to the way the show is produced now. But
maybe. I mean, I'm just looking back to see what the lineups were like when those two, when Julian Clary won and when Denise Welsh won. And, you know, I don't remember, you know, the likes of Colleen Nolan, Harvey. I think there was a bit of aggro between Danica, if you remember her, the girl who's a model, and someone. But there wasn't that many. You know, he kind of kept the peace a little bit, Julian Clary, and stayed in the background, didn't he? It wasn't absolutely like, you know, there weren't, you know, huge personalities. And the same really with Denise Welsh. I mean,
the Denise Welsh one, it was very much
around, it was Frankie Kokoza, wasn't it, in that one?
Frankie Kokoza had just come out of X Factor, so sort of he was the big name.
I don't remember any massive fallout, so I might be wrong.
Nicola McLean, I think she'd had a few. Sort of, there was her and Natasha Giggs that had thing, but then you look at somebody like Natalie Cassidy, who didn't really contribute a lot at the beginning, but kept herself sort of out of trouble and got all the way to quite near the end, sort of day 16. So she was, I think she finished.
Interesting.
She finished about fifth or
sixth. I think we will get a slightly understated winner this year. I'm more confident having seen the house than I was before. Shall we move on to the Golden Globes?
Yep, let's go.
That's this weekend, I believe, Rob. I can't believe we're upon awards season already. We've got Best Motion Picture. A lot of these are odds, very short odds ons, of course, as they always are in awards. Best Motion Picture, where you've got Boyhood as a 1-8 favourite. Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything, is 1-5. Julianne Moore is 1-9 for her role as Still Alice, for Best Actress. Best Director, Richard Linklater in Boyhood, 1-8. Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, 1-10. For Birdman. Best Actor, Musical Comedy, is Michael Keaton, Birdman, 1-12. Best Actress, this is the only one that's a bit more open. Musical Comedy, Best Actress, Amy Adams, Big Eyes, and Emily Blunt, Into the Woods, are 10-11. Each of two, so co-favourites there. The interesting one, there's a few really nice websites out there which predict Showbiz Awards. Gold Derby is one of them. Most of them, you know, they use a series of experts. I think they have like 19 experts, and they ask them their opinion. The only one where it's slightly split, Rob, because I haven't seen all these films, so I tend to use them, is the Best Director one. Now, Richard Linklater's 1-8 in this market. Now, of the 19 experts who are asked about this on this website, 10 of them say Richard Linklater, 7 say Alejandro Gonzalez for Birdman, which is interesting because, you know, he's 11-2. I mean, I wonder if it's worth, is that worth a go when you've got, you know, that's the only one that looks like it could get beat.
Yeah, I mean, you've obviously
of the short prices.
You've obviously got Birdman very short. It's 1-10 for Best Picture for the musical comedy. Michael Keaton's 1-12 for the Best Actor as well in that category. And then you've obviously got the other side of the motion dramas where you've got Boyhood at 1-8. I can make a case for it. But I just think,
but 11-2, it's not, you know, it's worth having a go at, isn't it?
Yeah, with these you tend to get the Globe. That it tends to be a sort of favourites haven, these sort of things now. And obviously Boyhood, we were 4-9 at the first price, and we're now 1-8. Eddie Redmayne was 4-5, we're now 1-5, and so on and so on, really. And you only need one of them beat to have a good night from a sort of trader's point of view.
Yeah.
But it's just really finding that one. Maybe director's the one, because there's not that many. When you look around, there's a lot of short price, apart from the best actress, where it's the best sort of musical comedy actress, and it's Amy Adams and Emily Blunt are both 10-11 joint favourites.
Mm.
It's difficult to see one of these favourites getting beat.
Yeah, it is. Interesting markets there. So you know, according to that website, Alejandro González Iñárritu, best director, 11-2, is the only one really that looks like it could upset the odds. And as usual, Rob, with these things, it's worth keeping an eye on the market, isn't it, on the day?
Yeah,
because things can get leaked, can't they? I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, you tend to get a few, but not as many as there used to be now. It's a lot more tighter. They've sort of taken a leak off the Oscars and kept everything sort of close shop, really. But, it'd be interesting to know. It'd be interesting to know how it goes. But, as you said, it's normally a favourite show, and I can't really see much changing from the prices we've got now. The ones that we have laid have just got shorter and shorter, so we will wait and see.
Let's have a look. There's lots of other awards betting, of course, on the website, but we're away off the Oscars, and we may as well wait until we've seen the outcome of the Golden Globes. You have put up the markets for the BAFTAs, which have been announced this morning, as we record this, Friday. Best Actor market is available. Eddie Redmayne 1-2 for The Theory of Everything. Michael Keaton for Birdman is 9-4. Benedict Cumberbatch in The Imitation Game 4-1. Jake Gyllenhaal, Nightcrawler 25s, as is Ralph Fiennes for The Grand Budapest Hotel. So, slightly more attractive price there. Best Actress, market's available 1-5 for Julianne Moore. Reese Witherspoon 11-2. Rosamund Pike is 9-1. Amy Adams 12-1. And Felicity Jones 12-1 for The Theory of Everything. And the final market that we've got at the moment is for Best Film. Boyhood 4-11, Imitation Game 4-1, The Theory of Everything 6-1, Birdman 10-1, and The Grand Budapest Hotel is 20-1. Anything to say on those, Rob?
No, not really.
Fine.
Not at the moment, obviously. I mean, the Globes don't tend to correlate into BAFTAs when it comes to film.
No.
The Globes and the Oscars are a lot more closer than the BAFTAs. The BAFTAs tend to have their own sort of different set of results compared to a lot of the American award ceremonies. So, it'd be interesting. Well, I'll touch on the Oscars next week and sort of make a list of which big changes there's been.
Mm. The NTAs are a couple of weeks away, the National Television Awards. Lots of markets here that Rob's priced up. We have got the Best Drama. Sherlock is the favourite there, 8-13. Scylla, 3-1. Doctor Who, 7-2. Downton Abbey, 8-1. The Best Serial Drama, Soap. EastEnders, 4-6. Coronation Street, 7-4. Emmerdale, 8-1. Hollyoaks, 9-1. I could tell you that last year, the winner of that was Coronation Street. The year before, the winner was Coronation Street as well, and the year before that, it was Coronation Street as well. To win it again wouldn't be a big surprise. I mean, this is voted for by the public, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and they voted it the last 3 years. I'm only going back that far, but 7-4 for Coronation Street. Best Comedy, Mrs. Brown's Boys, 1-7. Benidorm, 11-2. Big Bang Theory, 10-1. And outnumbered, 12-1. That looks rock solid at 7-1, doesn't it, to be fair? 7-1 on,
yep.
Rob. Best Drama Performance, Benedict Cumberbatch, 5-6. Sheridan Smith, 9-4. Sarah Lancashire, 5-2. And Dame Maggie Smith, 12-1. A lot of love for Sheridan Smith, you know.
Yep, definitely there has been. And,
she's cuddled my dog.
There you go. That's obviously enough for you. Just for cuddling the dog, I'd give Best Drama Performance. We have seen some money for Sheridan Smith as well, 3-1 when we priced it up into the 9-4. Benedict Cumberbatch has won this. I think he's won it once before,
yeah,
if I remember rightly. So
He won it last year for Sherlock.
A worthy favourite, but I mean, you'd probably, in somewhere, you'd make a case for The Outsider. I think Sherlock will win, but I think Sheridan Smith might upset the apple cart.
Best skill challenge show. The Great British Bake Off is 1-3. The Apprentice is 11-4. MasterChef 7-1. And Come Dine With Me is 12-1. Again, hard to see anything beating the GBBO.
The GBBO, yeah, I think 1-3 is probably quite good value, I'd say. Considering I can't really see Mount the Apprentice beating it, and the other two are out with the washing for me.
Yeah, I agree. Best daytime programme, This Morning routinely wins this every single year, doesn't it? I think the title may have been changed of the award, but whatever they call it, This Morning tends to win it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's there at 5-6 this year, which might be worth a little look. I mean, Pointless, 11-4, The Chase is... in between those two, it's 5-2, and then Jeremy Kyle show at 9-1.
Yeah, This Morning's been the one that's been gambled in. If I told you now that we were 5-2, I think it was before the start.
That would have been a nice bet.
It would have been a nice bet. Unfortunately, we don't do the podcast on a Monday.
Why was it that big a price when it's won every year recently?
I don't know.
All right, fine.
Can't tell you.
Best talent show? Strictly's been trouncing X Factor in the ratings and in this award over recent years. 4-11 to do it again. X Factor 2-1. The Voice is 12-1. Britain's Got Talent 14-1. It's a shame, really, isn't it? Because, I mean, in my mind, the X Factor should be below The Voice and Britain's Got Talent in the betting. If I could have a straight forecast, I'd take that. I'd take X Factor on.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't think it's... I mean, it still gets enough. It get enough view. I think X Factor will get enough to beat those bottom two, but... I don't know. Strictly for me, it's just buying money, and I have backed it as well.
So yeah, and another one that I think is buying money is 10-11 for Gogglebox to get best factual program. It's up against Paul O'Grady for The Love of Dogs, Long Lost Family, and Top Gear. Now I know Top Gear has got a big support base, but Gogglebox is the show at the moment, isn't it? I think 10-11 is a nice price.
No, it's I'm absolutely with you 100% here. We priced up Gogglebox at 4-7, I think it was, at the beginning. Mm. And we've seen plenty of money for Paul Grady for The Love of Dogs.
People love dogs,
don't O'Grady, sorry, for The Love of Dogs.
People do love a dog.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Why? I don't get it. Don't get it at all. I'd have Paul O'Grady as third fab behind Gogglebox and Top Gear, but...
Because these are all a public vote, and go to nationaltvawards.com to vote in them. It's a really nice laid out website, and you can just click on them as they go past there. I think we've done this. We did this a few years ago when Celebrity Juice was nominated, and we kind of just jumped on the back of the fact that Keith Lemon was tweeting so much about it. So it's we were chinned by Derek actually last year. It didn't quite work out.
Oh, Ricky, Derek was brilliant. It's one of the could have been one of the greatest betting coups of all time. But
he even mentioned us, didn't he, old Ricky Gervais?
Got him to tweet it. I got him to mention William Hill. Did everything I could to
apart
get Derek
winning
over the line that day.
I know. So, yeah, have a look at that. And like we always say, with anything that's based on a public vote, it is open to a little bit of, I don't mean dodgy manipulation, but just general, if a show, for instance, has got a massive dedicated fan base, then it's well worth taking that into consideration. Where should we go next? Just very briefly, while we're talking about film and TV, the box office special, Rob and William Hill in general are asking you what the highest grossing film of 2015 will be. This is declared by boxofficemojo.com. Is this UK? No, it refers to all US domestic takings from films released in 2015, including any box office revenue the film makes outside of that year as well.
Yeah.
So basically, I've been stung by this in the past. What that means is that if a film is released in November, its natural release will last 6 months. So really, people will have to probably wait till June of 2016 obviously, if it's nowhere near, I'm sure you'll probably just settle. But that's the idea behind this. Star Wars: The Force Awakens is 1-6. Avengers: Age of Ultron is 4-1. Jurassic World: 8-1. Spectre: 9-1. Ant-Man: 12s. Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2 is 14s. Minions: 16-1 and 20-1 and bigger the rest of them. One thing to be wary of with this market, and I found this to my cost, is that I had a bet on Hunger Games a couple of years ago, and it was up against Frozen. What they do now, Rob, as you're probably aware as a dad, they not only do they release, say, Frozen, but they put it into cinemas up and down the country here, and I'm guessing abroad, on like Sunday mornings as well.
Yeah.
And they keep it in cinemas forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not only getting the release and how much it makes, you're also getting some real longevity that you don't get with, you know, 12s or PGs even. Yeah. You know, so it's worth bearing that in mind when you look at this.
I'm realising that from now having a four-year-old who quite likes going to the cinema.
Yeah.
Especially on sort of school holidays and stuff like that, and the odd Sunday morning.
They just put them back on again, don't they?
Yeah, they just get repeated time and time again, and it's good for the cinemas because they weren't going to really take any money on a Sunday morning anyway for your film. So open the doors, let the kids in and watch some Disney classics, so to speak. So Minions maybe at 16:1, because I'd love to go and watch Minions.
Yeah, I mean, my kids are already excited about that. I mean, I'm not sure if it will win, but I think it's a bit big. That's the one I was going to come on to. I think it's a little bit big for the price, so you might get a run for your money with Minions. Bearing in mind what we've just said about, you know, the fact that that is the kind of film, Rob, with the merchandise that will get, that will just get played all, you know, forever, won't it?
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean, from almost going back to the front few, people have been waiting for Star Wars for a long time. And
yes, of course. It's difficult to oppose that,
trilogy,
in all honesty.
Obviously, Avengers, Jurassic Park was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
first
big
time,
films.
First two times around, even. And then, so Jurassic World's the next incarnation of that. Spectre will be the James Bond film. So that always goes well in UK box office, obviously. Obviously, this is US domestic takings.
Mm. So. Minions is released in July, so obviously you'll get the summer holiday traffic there, if you like, and then that'll be repeated all the way through until Christmas. I'm sure it'll still be kicking around in cinemas then as well. What was the one you just mentioned before Star Wars?
I didn't mention any Minions.
I thought you mentioned another one before Star Wars.
No,
maybe not. Interesting though, Star Wars is released on December the 18th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's the one I'm talking about. That you're going to have to, don't be fooled into thinking that ends at the 31st. That'll run until, you know, the figures will keep running until June.
Well,
so,
no, it's declared on
the long,
whatever it is on the 1st of March next year is what it will be settled as.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how you're working it?
Well,
interesting.
That's the title of the market, yeah.
Yeah.
I've made it even clearer this year.
That's good.
Putting it there, declared by boxofficemojo.com on the 1st of March 2016.
You're a good man. May the 11th, Jurassic World is released, by the way. So.
Star Wars will win this with 4 months compared to the others having 6.
You think?
Yeah. That's how confident you are.
Nice.
Well, I am even.
Interesting. Elsewhere on the specials pages, The Jump, which doesn't start just yet. So there's a load of contestants in there. Some are dropping out. Some may be added. Steve-O 7-2, John Allen Butterworth 11-2, Mike Tindall 6-1, Heather Mills 8-1, 8-1 JB Gill, 8-1 Louise Hazel, and jumps up to 14-1 and bigger the rest of them. Should we leave that for another week?
Yep, let's jump away.
The Voice. Not many markets, of course, at the moment. Winning manager available: Sir Tom Jones 9-4, Ricky Wilson 5-2, Rita Ora 5-2, Will I Am 11-4. You've also got The Voice UK 2015 winner to have a UK number one single this year. Yes, 10-1. It's probably worth having a go at. 10-1. You might get a week. WEEK, and then they go to number one. 10-1. I'm having a bit of that, Rob. Tens. Wow, I'm really surprised by that.
Massive.
It's a big price, that, isn't it? What if they release a song and it is good and it happens to coincide with a crappy week? Like it.
Yeah, but where's your previous winners?
Well, I'm not saying that anyone else has done it, but you know, it doesn't mean it can't happen. At 10-1, it's worth having a little pop at,
no.
I think.
No,
you're not having it. Fair enough.
Needs an extra note on the end.
There's no, there's not much point in speculating on who will win, other than to say, you know, Rita Ora will probably be a breath of fresh air on the show at 5-2, but no strong feelings on the winning manager, have you?
Mm.
No?
No, really. You want to see the people, don't you? It's all the winning manager and stuff like that. We'll wait and see what happens for me.
Yeah, indeed. I'm looking forward to that. I really like The Voice.
So am I. There's 3 odds on shots beaten. 3 series, 3 odds on shot going into the last night, all being beaten. It's an absolute trader's dream, this show. It's the best show. It should be on for longer. It should be on all year.
It is good. There's loads more on there. I mean, we could spend about 2 hours looking through all these different markets.
People would get tired.
And I think I get the feeling you're wilting as well. I think you've had enough, haven't you?
I think you've always got to offer the punter more.
Of course.
You've always got to want them, wishing more. And I'll tell you what, the amount of listeners we get this year, when you tell them, oh, well, we're back on again next week where we can talk about even more good stuff.
Exactly.
They'd be flocking in their drums.
Oh, absolutely. I can't agree more with that, Rob. So go on, if you want to have a look at all the other markets that are available, then go and check it out. It's on williamhill.com, and then you'll see TV specials right over towards the right-hand side of the webpage. Click that, and it's all there for you. Thanks, Rob.
Okay, mate. That's brilliant.
We'll speak next week.
We will.
Cheers, mate. Reality_Rob on Twitter. I'm at Lee Phelps. Feel free to tweet us. Rob especially likes wrestling tweets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.